What if there was one simple pill that could help support your energy, vitality, and cardiovascular function? Well, introducing new and improved Green Tea CR Phytosome formula from Purity Products. It's the power of three of nature's top superfoods, a clinically tested green tea plus curcumin and resveratrol, all in one simple capsule. It's potent, clinically tested, and it works to promote your energy, vitality, cardio health, immunity, and antioxidant defense. Our friends at Purity Products have a free bottle for you today to put to the test. Just pay $4.95 for shipping. Even better, call now and get a second free bottle. Purity's B12 Energy Melts. That's your second free gift. Again, for your free bottles of Green Tea CR and B12 Energy Melts, call 1-800-218-6030. That's 1-800-218-6030. Again, 1-800-218-6030. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're back to continue answering your questions. Layla, what's next?
We have an email from Lorraine. Dear Layla and Dr. Hoffman, this article, she sent us a link to an article, was in James Templeton's blog, which is Anne Louise Gittleman's husband, apparently.
Okay. We'll have her on one of these days.
Yeah. So, groundbreaking news in early breast cancer detection. There's a new breakthrough that shows breast cancer is a metabolic disease and is detectable in the blood.
Okay.
This was done by an international team of 35 researchers from 7 sites spanning 3 continents. Breast cancer was found to be a metabolic disorder with similarities to diabetes.
Okay.
And that looking for these particular metabolites, mm-hmm. the way you may in diabetes, researchers examined and tested more than 200 different chemicals in blood to prove that there are distinct metabolic differences.
There's a word for it. It's called proteomics or metabolomics. And this has also been facilitated. I wrote about it a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. It's been facilitated by AI, artificial intelligence and machine learning. When I look at a bunch of blood tests, I see a pattern. I say, well, you know, this is high, that's low, this suggests something. But what if I tested for like 300 things and then I look at the thing and my eyes glaze over and this is high, this is low, I can't cope with this. The smoke's coming out of my ears. It exceeds my mental capacity.
Yeah.
But a computer can take and summate all that information and spot certain trends. And then the machine can learn that this particular pattern may be correlating 25 different things simultaneously or more, is 98% of the time associated with breast cancer.
Wow.
And they may be things, they're not looking to see whether cancer cells are floating in your blood.
Yeah.
They're looking at certain other parameters. Mm-hmm. So we already know that insulin-like growth factor is a factor in prostate cancer and breast cancer, but not invariably. Maybe that coupled with other things, there's a plot, hemoglobin A1C, although, a lot of women who are thin and have normal blood sugar get breast cancer.
That's true, too.
But, I don't know what goes into that secret sauce of all the different things, the variables that they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is kind of harkens back to what we started the program with, which is the ultimate treatment for cancer.
Yeah.
What's the ultimate test for cancer? Because it'd be nice to spot cancer early, but not spot cancer and freak people out and then turns out they don't have cancer.
Yeah.
We need a test that's highly accurate, that's very sensitive, that picks it up early enough so we can, get in there and treat it. We also need a test that doesn't spit out a lot of false positives, which is
like mammography can do.
Yes.
In as many as 56%.
So there's a simple concept in testing is sensitivity. Does it pick it up or does it miss it? And things that have 90% sensitivity means that 10% of the time you miss it. And then there's specificity, which means if you say it's there, how many times are you wrong and it's a false positive? That's specificity. So we're looking for that holy grail in cancer detection.
Mm-hmm.
PSA does not meet the criteria for a perfect test. Mm-hmm. Mammography does not meet the criteria for a perfect test.
Mm-hmm.
Even colonoscopy does not. Pap smear, okay, pretty good, worth doing. But, there's even controversy over whether mammography is worth doing.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the premises of the article, is that right. It's an imperfect tool, and it gets a lot of women overtreated, and it also misses some women.
That's
and it gets
true.
A lot of women really freaked out because they think that they've got breast cancer when they have just mild abnormalities.
Exactly. False positives doing more harm than good. And despite being advertised...
Or even true positives in cancers that are so-called cancers that maybe shouldn't even be called cancers, that are just
like
irregular.
Like DCIS?
DCIS, which they don't even want to call a cancer anymore.
Right. Right. And despite being advertised as low-dose radiation, the average mammogram has the equivalent radiation of 1,000 chest x-rays and being targeted to a smaller, more sensitive tissue in the body. Wow. Well.
So is this, I mean, this is all great.
Hmm.
The question is...
If they found a test, yeah,
that would be
great. The
question is, you know, is it ready for prime time? And even if it is... Will it be accepted by the medical profession? Will doctors be afraid to use of it because they're afraid that they'll get sued?
Mm.
Because the liability is a big impediment to innovation.
That's
and the other is cost and availability. It's like people, they'll say, you know, maybe in 5 years, they'll say, well, you know, we're running out of money. You can get a mammogram and there is this new test, but you got to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that new test costs $2,500.
Mm.
So you can get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not covered.
Right. Right. So, where we go. Cost is going to play in there somewhere. But, Lorraine, thank you for this link to this article, which is very interesting. Hopefully something will be born out of this, that this breakthrough
can work. The buzzword is proteomics, metabolomics.
Mm-hmm.
That's the future of testing, not just one test.
Right.
But an analysis, a summation of different results. Mm-hmm. Let's allow one of our sponsors now to share this vital message with you. Here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what makes this program tick and makes it available to you as a free resource. So please support our sponsors. And now back to Layla. What's our next question?
Oh, this is really good. This comes from Annie. Annie writes, I have followed various forms of low carb, first Atkins, paleo, sometimes keto, lately intermittent fasting, but always high fat, low carb. I enjoy the lifestyle. I credit the low carb way of life as enabling me to keep slim and manage blood sugar, etc. Please address the following research that claims a high fat diet increases melanoma risk. This may be of interest to your readers, listeners, patients who follow a high-fat, low-carb diet or engage in fasting. Annie, I want to thank you up front because this is very interesting. And here's the article from Emory Health Sciences. Melanoma mutation likes fat for fuel. And this diet can modulate growth-spurring effect in mice. So cancer cells love glucose, right? We've kind of operated on that premise.
Right.
So a high-fat, low-carb diet should starve them, right? Not cancers driven by a notorious melanoma mutation. So they found this particular mutation called BRAF-V600E. That's BRAF-V600E. What happens is, in that particular, in the setting of this particular mutation, the cancers then will get their nourishment from ketones.
So
fat burning.
So this really is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had that article in hand to bring up to Dr. Thomas Seyfried because I actually attended a dinner with him the other night and a small group, and he gave a lecture, and then there was an informal Q&A. And his theory, for those of you not familiar with Dr. Seyfried, we interviewed him on Intelligent Medicine, is that cancer is a metabolic disorder,
mm-hmm.
and that you can starve cancer by starving it of its fuel. And its main fuel is glucose.
Yeah.
But there's a little wrinkle to that, because if you are on a very low carb diet, You got to have protein from some source. So why doesn't everybody respond to that? Well, his theory is that it's glutamine that is the amino acid from virtually ubiquitous in proteins and essential for human life that feeds the cancer. So you can't put people on a no-carb, just fat diet and no protein.
Right. And the body makes glutamine too. So what do we do?
So his solution was to block the glutamine. There are various chemical agents that block glutamine uptake by cancer cells. So, okay, fine. But what happens when you eat all that fat? Well, Dr. Seyfried would say to this, he'd say, well, this is impossible. It doesn't square with my theory. My theory is based on Otto Warburg. And Otto Warburg hypothesized that ketones are fuel for human cells, but cancer cells can't utilize them and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, this appears to be, if true, an exception to that rule. And, you know, I can't, this again, the research here is at a very high level. I can't vouch for its applicability to a human situation, a human dietary situation. Sometimes this research is test tube research and is not relevant to human experience. But it does suggest a mechanism by which cancer cells are highly adaptable. And they can use pretty much anything as a fuel.
It's survival of the fittest when you think about it. I've heard some an author say, I forget who it was, that cancer is the new us.
Okay.
Talk about survival of the fittest. So there, if there is any transformation or anything like that, nature wants it to survive. Whether that's good or bad for us at all is almost irrelevant when you think about it.
It's an evolutionary principle.
It's an evolution. Yes, yes. So,
and,
so
but you know, if one lack of success of cancer is that cancer affected everyone and killed everyone before a reproductive age, that wouldn't be a good, very, very good evolutionary adaptation.
No, it wouldn't.
But it can survive because it parasitizes us and ultimately kills us, but usually after we propagate, providing new protoplasm for cancer to thrive on. Anyway, so the point is, from this article, is that cancer may be infinitely adaptable and not always amenable to a nutritional solution. Now,
that's true.
Dr. Gonzalez, the late Dr. Gonzalez, would take this perspective, is that different cancers, and even cancers of the same type in different people, have different nutritional correlates. And that, so some patients he would put on a vegetarian diet with no protein and no fat, like quasi, you know, very you know, starchy fiber diets. And other patients, you know, always with vegetables. And other patients he would put on a very high fat diet. But I will say that in general, he preferred his melanoma patients to be on a high fat, high protein diet.
That's
and a low carb diet.
That's interesting.
Generally. I mean,
generally. I think a lot of his treatment was also not just based on the enzyme supplements and things, but on the state of the autonomic nervous system.
Yes.
Which has a lot to do with what kind of diet you would be prescribed with. But it's very interesting. So it's this particular, all right, when researchers fed mice a diet with more than 90% of its calories from fat, this is a very ketogenic diet, grafted tumors derived from V600E melanoma cells grew faster, twice as large over 4 weeks, than in mice fed a normal diet.
So I have a problem with this, which is that when in nature do mice consume a lot of fat? Ever.
That's true.
Ever.
That's true.
Mice, you know, they'll eat almost anything. I mean, there was a famous picture. You see the picture of the mouse pulling a, like a slice of pizza across the subway
that
platform?
Yes. You still remember that?
Was, so they'll eat
that
anything.
That was viral. That's true.
But in general, mice don't eat a lot of fat.
Right.
They mostly have carbohydrates. They eat grains. And
they eat a lot of garbage.
And, you know, they're scavengers. But that's, you know, urban mice as opposed to wild mice.
Well, the caveat here is they found this, the mice that they developed tumors faster with this BRAF-V600E mutation. But this was not true of tumors derived from melanoma cells with other oncogenic mutations. How far down the microscope do we go with all this? I mean, we can't...
Well, okay, so...
And what percentage of the population do we all now look for this gene?
Yeah. So
like the BRCA gene for breast cancer?
So
and that's only 10%.
What we're seeing is a lot of
the population.
A lot of hypotheses.
Yeah.
That's a hypothesis. It has to be further demonstrated, further proven.
Yeah.
Then there's like, you know, 50, 100, several hundred genetic mutations. We can do nutrition research on each and every one of them. Mm. And maybe we can, in the future, profile cancers by, you know, people will submit their cancer for genetic analysis, and then it'll say, oh, your cancer will respond to a very low-carb diet. Your cancer, you have to restrict fat. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
And from
that
this...
That would be really highly personalized nutrition for...
Nutrigenomics.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, very targeted to, you know, cancer genomics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we don't even have that yet for drugs. I mean... Right now, everybody gets standard treatment. You have, you know, prostate cancer, you get this. You get, you know, breast cancer, you get that. Mm-hmm. Breast cancer a little better. Breast cancer, they're individualizing therapy based on the cancer gene. But, you know, other cancers, you know, pretty much ovarian and endometrial and colon, there's not so much subtyping of the cancer
right.
and how it might respond to the treatment of choice.
I want to thank Annie again for sending this to us. This was so very thoughtful
but
and great to discuss here.
But from her practical standpoint, melanoma is a relatively rare cancer.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like if you eat fat, you're going to get melanoma.
That's right.
It's like if you have melanoma it and you're not a mouse or a rat, you might consider a low-fat diet, although it's not been demonstrated. It needs to be trialed in humans.
Yeah.
And we're so far away from doing that.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's, you know, it doesn't mean like, oh my God, I'm going to, you know, I'm eating, I'm so super healthy on this ketogenic diet. Now I'm going to get melanoma.
No. Your ketogenic diet isn't going to cause it. And this was done in mice on grafted melanoma tumors.
Which
and
is artificial
so
anyway. Yeah.
That it is artificial. So we have to take all of this with many grains of salt. But again, eat whole foods, unprocessed, the way they're found in nature. Do the best that you can that way, and that's what we do. That's what we do. Thank you, Annie. All right. Oh, this comes to us from, and this appears quite urgent, Dr. Hoffman. I recently read your article, Can Natural Medicine Cure Panic Attacks? I've been suffering from extreme panic attacks that send me to the hospital every time because it feels like I'm going to die, with doctors telling me each time that everything is fine and prescribing me different drugs. I experience all the symptoms you describe in the article with headaches, nausea, lightheadedness, to the point that I feel like I'm going to pass out, heart palpitations, sweating. I know my migration to the UK from my home country in the Middle East has a lot to do with this, as my diet has changed completely.
We could have an element of post-traumatic stress disorder if they're from Syria or a war zone.
Or anything, just a big culture shock as well.
And change,
having to leave your home.
Yes.
Feeling homesick.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah.
Right now, I come back to my home country, but I still have these attacks without any reasons.
Okay. So you know, without going further, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy is the way to go. Mm-hmm. And find a place that does CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, because it's not like deep psychology where they talk about, you know, your childhood trauma and blah, blah. They just want to help you cope with the symptoms and the feelings.
Yeah.
But things that help. Let's look at things that help. Magnesium, particularly magnesium 3 and 8, which gets to the brain. What's the brand name of that?
It's Protosorb
magnesium.
Protosorb magnesium. Thank you.
By protocol.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's magnesium 3 and 8, which actually gets to the brain. We'd also recommend that you try theanine, a natural calmative agent. And there's a lot of potential for CBD in this.
Oh, yeah.
Cannabidiol. I find it calmative to some extent. But the way to go is absolutely get into a program of therapy.
Yeah. So this is not all about nutrition all the time. No.
Well what would you, how would you mess up your moods with nutrition?
Oh, well, by having a very poor diet. So if he's left his home country and is living in the UK and he's adopted a more Western or a poorer diet than what he used to have, That's going to have everything to do with your mood. That may bring on panic attacks. We would do a little investigation there.
Ups and downs of blood sugar.
Yes, all of that. Maybe food allergies. That's a big deal.
Chemicals in the food that
could trigger problems. Environmental toxins that you're reacting to that you were not exposed to growing up where you were. Of course, that can play into all of that.
But don't put all your eggs in one basket about the diet, because we do have patients who are very holistic. They listen to me. They follow the diet perfectly. They still need CBT.
Yes, as opposed to CBD.
They need both.
Cognitive behavioral therapy.
And
cannabidiol. And possible cannabidiol,
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, these are measures that together can help address this problem. And by the way, this is such a common problem. How many times do we see patients who have what this guy experiences? And even like in popular culture, I mean, Tony Soprano had panic attacks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he thought he was dying. It's exactly like that.
It's exactly like that. So it could be PTSD. You might have really hit the nail on the head there. Really, that could be something. So that requires a full workup. I'd be interested in an adrenal function test for him.
Okay.
Too, to see if he's very depleted or anything else due to all these panic attacks.
Adrenal burnout.
Some adrenal support
may
help in his recovery. So, wow, we hope you feel better soon.
And it's a reach out from our international audience, which shows the outreach and scope of Intelligent Medicine.
Yes.
Layla, I'm afraid we're going to have to pull a plug on today's episode of Intelligent Medicine because we're running a little short of time.
Wow.
So time flies when you're having fun. We hope you enjoyed today's answers to the questions. And, you know, a bizarre thing happened to me when I was doing my live radio program.
Hmm.
I'm starting to answer the questions. And Siri comes on and starts answering the questions.
Oh, no.
I had put Siri too close to the computer, and Siri was hearing the program, and Siri started coming up with answers.
Oh, no.
In this very, you know, robotic Siri voice. And I said, Siri, shut up. I said, I'm doing the program. Next time we'll have Siri do the program. Okay. Let's see how good that's going to be. Because are we...
Maybe, don't use FaceTime anymore either. It may be listening to you.
It was listening to me. It was like, we're not indispensable.
Right.
We eventually brought to you by Apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.